إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة الحمد لله وفرز الله
ومن تقول علي ما لم أقل
وشكف جل الله من نجيب وثناثات وما بادي whoever Allah guides there is none that can lead him astray and whoever is led astray there is no guide for him I bear witness that no God has the right to be worshipped other than Allah he is alone and has no partners and I bear witness that Muhammad is his slave and his messenger O you who believe fear Allah as you ought to be feared and don't die except as much O humanity fear your Lord who has created you from a single soul and created from it its name has gathered from them too many men and women and fear Allah for whom you demand your mutual rights and don't cut off relations with the womb that bore you indeed Allah is the Raqib over you. All you who believe fear Allah and say that which is correct in order that he may accept from you your deeds and forgive you of your sins and whoever obeys Allah and his messenger has achieved the greatest achievement and ma'arju certainly the most truthful speech is the book of Allah and the finest guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the most evil of affairs are newly invented matters in this deen and every newly invented matter in this deen is a bid'ah and every bid'ah is a string and every string is a hellfire continuing with our and the Aqeedah of Abu al-Hasan al-Ashari rahimahullah from his book Al-Iban al Usul al-Diyana we come to the statement of Abu al-Hasan rahimahullah ونصدق جميع الروايات التي يثبتها أهل النقل من النزول إلى السماء الدنيا وأن الرب عز وجل يقول هل من سائل هل من مستغفر وسائر ما نقلوه وأثبتوه خلافا لما قاله أهل الزيغ والتضليل ونعول فيما اختلفنا فيه على كتاب ربنا عز وجل وسنة نبينا صلى الله عليه وسلم وإجماع المسلمين وما كان في معناه ولا نبتدع في دين الله بدعة لم يأذن الله بها ولا نقول على الله ما لا نعلم أبو الحسن العشري رحمه الله says and we believe in all of the narrations that have been proven authentic from Ahlul Naqli and they are from the reliable transmitters of the hadith from the nuzul or the descension from the lowest to the lowest heaven and that indeed the Lord Azza wa Jal has said is there anyone to ask a question is there anyone seeking forgiveness and all that has been narrated and has been proven authentic in opposition to the Ahlu Zayghi wa Tablil or the people of deviance and going astray who don't believe in all of the narrations that have been authentically reported. And we rely on the book of our Lord Azza wa Jal and the Sunnah of his of our Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wa Alihi Wasallam and the Ijma' of the Muslimin and what is in accordance with that whenever we differ in an issue and we don't invent any bid'ah in the deen that which Allah has not given us permission to do so nor do we say about Allah that which we have no knowledge of. Here Abu al-Hasan al-Ashari rahimahullah his beginning, or he's trying to clarify, and this point had come before, to show us the truthfulness of the statement of the Shaykh who came before him, Abdullah ibn Mubarak rahimahullah, died 181 Hijra, who said, Al-Isnadu min al-Din, walawla al-Isnad, laqala man sha'a ma sha'a. And this is collected by Imam Muslim rahimahullah in his Muqaddimah. And we're going to bring many of these narrations. They're all from Imam Muslim rahimahullah in his Muqaddimah. This is the introduction to a Sahih Muslim, and it's not translated with the English Sahih Muslim, as this is just talking about the people of the chain and so on and so forth. And the English translation doesn't deal with the chain, it only deals with the text of the hadith. But there's something before you get to the text, and that is the chain from Imam Muslim rahimahullah to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. At any rate, Imam Muslim, he narrates this part of his Sahih Muslim. And the ulama, they refer to it as the introduction to Sahih Muslim, and they usually separate his hadith into two categories. One from the introduction of the Sahih Muslim, and the other one from the rest of Sahih Muslim. At any rate, this statement of Abdullah ibn Mubarak rahimullah, he says this chain of narrators is from the deen, and if it wasn't for this chain, anyone could say whatever he likes. The Abdullah ibn Mubarak rahimullah is explaining to us this chain of narrators. I learned this from so-and-so, who learned it from so-and-so, who learned it from so-and-so, who learned it from Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, who learned it from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, that this chain is a part of this deen. And if it wasn't for this chain, anybody could say whatever he means, whatever he wants. Meaning I could say the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says so-and-so, and you have to believe me. Because why I can't say the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and you could say? And then you say, who are you to say the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said? I could say it too. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the black man of America is the finest of creation. And then the people can go on like this and make up any hadith that they want to support any type of opinion or swaying that the people have like this. And because of this, this chain of narrators is from the deen. And Imam Muslim rahimahullah, we're not going to go in all that detail, brings ayat and then hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to show that the chain is a part of this deen. And the closest, or the first, or one of the evidences that Imam Muslim rahimahullah, he brings is the statement of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Hujurat, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu idha ja'akum, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu in ja'akum fasiqun binaba'in fatabayyanu an tusibu qawman bishahala fatusbihu ala ma fa'altum nadimin. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala says, O you who believe, if a fasiq comes to you, and a fasiq is somebody outside of the obedience to Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if a fasiq comes to you with some news, then verify it. So that you don't be harmed by acting out of ignorance and then to be regretful thereafter. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us here in this ayat, and Imam Muslim rahimahullah, he explains to show that this is amongst the ayat and amongst, we'll mention amongst the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that shows where Abdullah bin Mubarak extracted his statement that this chain is a part of from this deen. As here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing you, if somebody comes, you have to check out what he's bringing to you. If he has a memory, if he has deen, if he has character, you're going to accept it from him. And if it's from other than that, then you're not going to accept it from him. How are you going to accept the narration of a liar and then act upon his lie and thereafter become regretful? For example, somebody said, and we know how it used to take place in Jahiliyyah, وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. They say, so-and-so was messing with me. And we go down and beat so-and-so up. And then so-and-so says, I ain't never touched him or whatever. Then you find out that he just didn't like him. He got everybody to beat him up by his lie that he was messing with me. And this is just a minor example. And with the deen, it's more serious. Because someone can come to you and tell you, this is how you worship Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And you begin to worship Allah on that which isn't pleasing to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And then the consequences are much serious than just beating up somebody who doesn't deserve it. So here from this ayat, and Imam Muslim rahimahullah, he brings hadith, like the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, من حدث عني بحديث وهو يرى أنه كذب فهو أحد الكاذبين. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever narrates on me a hadith and thinks that it's a lie, then he's one of the two liars. And here the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is discouraging us from narrating hadiths on him if we didn't get it from reliable sources, so as to be safe from lying on the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And this is the point that this chain is from the deen, and that the ulama of hadith and knowledge of the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that when they make their statements are nice statements, but in accordance to the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and sometimes like a summary of them, as we see in this statement, that this chain is a part of the deen, and if it wasn't, then anyone could say whatever they like. And we see that the people have said whatever they like, as this is very common amongst all of the deviants in Islam, that they hold very fast to hadith that have not been authentically reported on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so as to support the position of their group, whether they're Sufis or what have you, that they use these fabricated hadith in order to support their position. Because they know if somebody's Muslim and he hears you say the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you know he's going to follow you. Because he don't think that it's from you, he think it's from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. So when the people lie on the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam, they're able to cheat the people and pull the people closer to themselves with the lies on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But alhamdulillah, who has made this chain a part of this deen, and that because of it, anybody can say whatever he likes. And when he makes a lie on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's going to be questioned, is that authentic? Where did you get that hadith from? And then after that, if he continues to lie after you question him, then you're going to be safe from his lies. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, أو كما قال الإثم على من أفتاك, أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم, that the sin is on the one who gave you the verdict. Meaning, if you're trying to do your best to find the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from the people who you heard are reliable and knowledgeable of this deed, and they lie to you after you ask them what is the hadith on the issue, then you're free from the sin even if you practice it, because you were only practicing it thinking that it was a hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And even to safeguard the people from this, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has sent people, and we're going to see in the next narration of Muhammad ibn Sirin rahimahullah, that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala sent people to expose them liars. If people going around cheating the people and lying on the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala sent knowledgeable to detect these lies, to come back behind the liars and to tell the innocent they've lied on the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This has not been authentically reported on them, alhamdulillah. And this is in accordance with the statement of Muhammad ibn Sirin, إِنَّ هَذَا الْعِلْمَ دِينٌ فَانْظُرُوا عَمَّنْ تَأْخُذُونَ دِينَكُمْ. As he says, this knowledge, and he's referring to the knowledge of the chain of narrators, that this is deen. So look at who you take your deen from. Here Muhammad ibn Sirin rahimahullah, and this authentic narration on him, and there's a hadith with this same wording, but it hasn't been authentically reported on the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this hadith comes in the Mishkat. However, it has been authentically reported on Muhammad ibn Sirin, and the meaning is clear, as it's in accordance with what we've already mentioned from the Quran and the Sunnah, that this ilm, this knowledge of the chain of narrators, of who's who and who knows what about this deen, that this is the deen. So look at who you get your deen from. So everybody has to be careful at who he takes something from. If you know someone is not to be is not known to be studious or to have learned this deen, or to be of good character, then how are you going to ask him about your deen? You've been created to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How are you going to make between you and the worship of your Lord tabarak wa ta'ala a liar, or a chronic sinner, or an open, disobedient person to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala? How are you going to place him between you and your Lord tabarak wa ta'ala? And that people must look at who they place between them
and the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that they are the people of deen and the people of knowledge of the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Muhammad ibn Sirin, he also says that before we didn't ask about the chain, but when the fitna broke out, then we started saying, where you get that from? Mention their names. So that we will look at Ahlul Sunnah, and then we will take their hadith. And then we will look at Ahlul Bid'ah, and then we wouldn't take their hadith. Here Muhammad ibn Sirin, rahimahullah, and he's from the Tabi'een. So the only people who lived before him are the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam himself. So when he said, we didn't ask, because as all of the ummah agrees that the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all of them are reliable. So when he says, we didn't ask, because Abu Huraira told him that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. So you can imagine why Muhammad ibn Sirin radiallahu ta'ala anhu isn't asking, because Abu Huraira told him. Because Abdullah ibn Umar told him, for example, and the other companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who he heard the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from. But he said when the fitna broke out, and this is during the latter years, after the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam started dying off, rather were being killed off by the criminal Muslims, and then they started inventing their own program and their own hadith to support their deviance, as they killed Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and afterwards, and then what took place with Ali and the Muslims and fighting and so on, that at that time they began to ask, tell me where you got that from. Because now when the fitna broke out and everybody's taking sides, who you with? I'm with him, he's with them, and everybody's trying to defend each side. At this time, the Muslims began to ask, where you got it from? And if the people were from Ahlul Sunnah, meaning they held fast to the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that they had a character and a practice, and that Ahlul Sunnah aren't just the people who speak about Islam, but they're the people who do their best to practice what they preach of this deen of al-Islam. They're the real Ahlul Sunnah. And that the people used to look at Ahlul Sunnah, the people who know and practice Islam, and then they used to take the Islam from them. And then the people Ahlul Bid'ah, the people who invented in this deen that which is not from this deen, the people whose characters were shot and weren't practicing what they preached, then they looked at those people and then they dropped whatever they had to offer to take this deen from the people who knew it and from the people who practiced it. So this is trying to give us an understanding of the statement of our Shaykh Abu al-Hasan al-Ashari radiallahu anhu, as he says, and we believe in all of the narrations that have been authentically reported from Ahlul Naqli, from the narrators or the transmitters of these hadith. We believe in all of the authentic narrations that they bring to us. As Sa'id ibn Ibrahim rahimahullah, he says, لا يحدث عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إلا استقاط. He says, we only accept, and this is the meaning of the statement, we only accept from the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that which has been transmitted to us by the reliable memorizers of this deen. And we had explained this shortly in one of the statements of Abu al-Hasan al-Ash'ari, that the people had not only a serious memory that was precise and exact, but they also had the practice to go along with their deen, and that both of these things had to be together before a person was considered a reliable memorizer or transmitter of the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, being on the level that would be acceptable for the hadith to be declared sahih or hasan, or as we just say in English, to be authentic. And Sufyan ibn Uyayna rahimahullah, and we had covered in some of our classes before, other than the classes at this masjid, the Aqeedah of Sufyan ibn Uyayna. It was a very short Aqeedah, only 10 points or 11 points. And he says, rahimahullah, it was narrated to me on the authority of Abu Aqil, who was the companion of Buhayya, that some of the children of Abdullah ibn Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, that they asked him about something and he had no knowledge of it. So Yahya ibn Sa'id, he said, I swear by Allah. I find it to be a terrible thing to be like you. You are the son of the Imams of Guidance, of the two Imams of Guidance, referring to Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu and his son Abdullah ibn Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhuma. And here he's showing, alright, Umar, Abdullah ibn Umar, the companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the scholar of the companions, is your father. And your grandfather is Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, the Khalifa, the second Khalifa of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and amongst the scholars of the Sahaba. We're going to ask you about something and you don't know it, meaning to this deen. You see how terrible it is for me to be like you. That's your lineage, and here it is, you don't know anything about this deen. He said, MashaAllah. He said, let me tell you something more terrible than that. In the sight of Allah. And for those who understand the deen of Allah, that I say something without having any knowledge. Or that I report to you something on other than the reliable memorizers. So here, some of the children of Abdullah ibn Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhuma showed that this issue isn't that you should be ashamed that somebody asks you something about this deen and you don't know it. That's not the problem. The problem is if you ask about something about this deen and you don't know it and you answer on your ignorance or on your own desires without any knowledge of the Book of Allah or the Sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is worse than that. Or that you narrate on other than the reliable memorizers. I heard from the sinner such and such that this is how you make salah. Where you get that from? You know the brother that never comes to the masjid? He told me this is how you're supposed to make the salah. And some of the people thought, and we're going to mention this too, that this is an attack on certain people. And we're going to mention the statement of Imam Muslim rahimahullah that this is an attack on certain people. Rather, this is compulsory to mention someone's character and someone's deen when it comes to taking knowledge from him. And that to say that a person doesn't come to the masjid. Sheikh, who said that? He don't come to the masjid? Oh. Just so that the people know who they get their deen from, and that when you get your deen from somebody, it's going to be somebody who's practicing Islam, not just somebody who's professing Islam on his tongue. Or he sat down, he read quite a few books, memorized some Quran, some Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But what's going to go along with that is his character. As we're seeing in this narration, that I'll show you something more terrible than me not being able to answer a question on this deen, as that I give you something from somebody not reliable. And this would be the same thing in my case, if I'm giving the class and I learn something from someone who's not reliable, or his deen or his character is not together, and then I'm teaching you that. And you ask me, who did I get this from? I say, this brother, you know, he kind of gets high and smoke and stuff like that. But mashallah, he knows what he's talking about when it comes to this deen. How do you know he knows what he's talking about when it comes to this deen? If that's his type of character and that's his deen, if he knows this deen, he'd be practicing it more than that, because Allah is shadeedul iqab. That Allah is severe in his punishment. And إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهُ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءِ. And that the people who really fear Allah are the people who have knowledge. Because they know the reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they want it. And they work towards it. And they know the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they fear it and they try to stay away from it. So these authentic narrations that we take from the transmitters, as we have explained in some of the classes before, they are the reliable memorizers. That their memories are intact and they're amongst the brightest Muslims, and also their deen is intact. And we have mentioned, I think then, that there's some people who the ulama refer to as abdad, that they are the serious worshippers of Allah. You always see them fasting every Monday and Thursday, always fasting on the 13th, 14th, or 15th, or the Ayyamul Bidh, always making all of their sunnahs, standing up at night as much as they could to make the salat to tahajjud, making the zikr, visiting the sick, doing everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala encourages the Muslims to do. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us to practice this deen. That these people, their practice of Islam is good, but their memories aren't as strong. And we know that some people, as we used to come up, they used to call him, maybe he's in special ed or something like that, or he's a little slow, or he didn't pick it up. This doesn't necessarily prevent somebody from being a good worshiper of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, it prevents him from being amongst the reliable memorizers because his memory isn't intact. And this is the same thing with the opposite, as some people, mashallah, have been given some of the finest minds. And we see that the prisons are filled with some of the finest minds, but that the people don't want to do right with their minds. And that these people aren't going to be amongst the reliable memorizers. So on both sides, you might have just the worship without the mind. Or here you might have the mind without the worship. These reliable memorizers, who are the transmitters of the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they have both of them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the success to whoever He wills, and we ask for His success, that He chooses people to have both of them to pass this deen on and to preserve this deen. And this is in accordance with the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Inna nahnu nazzalna dhikr wa inna lahu lahafidun. Indeed, we are the ones to send down this revelation, and we are the ones to preserve it. And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has preserved His revelation, both the Quran and the Sunnah, by men with memories and understanding, and with character and deen to go along with that memory and that understanding. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. We see in this statement of Mujahid, and these are all statements, as I mentioned earlier, come from the introduction of Imam Muslim, rahimahullah. Well, Mujahid, and he was the companion of Abdullah ibn Abbas from amongst the Tabi'een, rahimahumallah. He said that Bushayrun al-Adawi, he came to Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhumah, and he started to narrate hadith. He was saying, Qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. What the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. So Abdullah ibn Abbas didn't listen to his hadith, nor did he look at the man. So the man said, Abdullah ibn Abbas, what's wrong with you? I'm narrating to you the hadith and you don't listen to it? In the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Abdullah ibn Abbas, and he said, you know, before a person used to say, or qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and everybody would look at him. And everybody would be listening so closely to what he said. And then when the people started taking anything and everything and mixing everything all up, then we stopped listening. We stopped taking the hadith from the people except the people who we know. Here Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he's showing that once the fitna stuff broke out, and he was amongst the younger companions of the Prophet ﷺ, so he lived many years afterwards. I think he died 59 Hijra or something like that. And he saw the time of the Tabi'een and the latter generations, and that he saw that after the fitna, everybody started talking. He started mixing stuff up, the good and the bad and everything. And at this time, they stopped taking the hadith except from the people who they know. So-and-so, his deen, his character, he never got caught, trapped off in all that fitna. He was always holding fast to the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of his Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Him, we're going to take this hadith from the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As far as those other people and what they've been doing, then we're not taking anything from them. And this is this deen, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen. This deen isn't just to take from anybody and everybody. Or from the people who say, astaghfirullah al-azim. They say they read every book. As we say, don't read this book, read that book. This is a good book, that's a good book. Look out for that book. Don't read that one. Stay away from that. What's wrong with them brothers? They're only reading some books and not others. Their understanding is going to be lopsided. meaning their understanding is going to be correct and not criminal and deviant and astray. As the people who read everything, the good and the bad and the ugly. This deen you're only supposed to this deen you're only supposed to accept that which is authentically reported on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Supposed to take anything. And this is like the people you say, when you go to, what masjid you go to? He said, I go to all of the masjids. I don't distinguish. Islam is the truth. Walhamdulillah. And we listen to what everybody has to say. He listens to bid'ah and sunnah. He listens to shirk and tawheed. He listens to kufr and iman. He listens to deviance and guidance. He doesn't know where he don't know if he's going or coming. Akhi, how do you make wudu? Let me see. Well, I learned a little bit over here, and a little bit over there, and a little bit over here, and I put it together, and then he got... he just has a whole bag full of stuff, as the ulama used to say. He's like the man who picked up his firewood from the forest at nighttime. He doesn't know if he's picking up a log or a snake until he picks up a snake and he gets bitten. Because he doesn't know what he's picking up. And the ulama, mashallah, they use this to show how dangerous and how poisonous it can be for you to just take anything. Just to be picking and choosing from anybody. You don't know his background, what he knows, his deen, or whatever. And you take from him, and then you find yourself on deviance, and all of the Muslims are trying to call you back to the truth, and you don't even see. Akhi, come back to the sunnah. He says, I'm already on the sunnah. If that's the sunnah, we don't want to be on it. And this is that deviance that the people are upon as they left the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And these are just narrations to show that we're not taking our deen from anybody and everybody, and that Islam is greater than taking the deen from anybody and everybody. But that this deen is to be taught and to be taken from those people with deen and character. Imam Muslim rahimahullah, he says, and these are some of the chapter titles for his introduction. He says, the chapter, it is compulsory to take the narrations of the reliable memorizers and to leave off the narrations of the liars, of the kazzaboon. And many of the kazzaboon were scholars with character, except that they took hadith from anybody and everybody. And this is how they became liars. Not necessarily that they just invented anything, but that they took from anybody and everybody. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows this. And to warn against lying on the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Imam Muslim rahimahullah, he says, chapter, the prohibition of taking the narration of the du'ata. The narration, or they might translate, of the weak people. وَالْإِحْطِيَاتُ فِي تَحَمُّلِهَا, and being very cautious and passing this narration on. This narration of the weak are maybe closer, like the example of the person, his worship is really intact, but his memory just not there. His worship, and he got his worship together over years by listening, getting it down, but when it comes for him explaining the issues and stuff, he kind of gets it confused. And you see this sometimes with the brothers. And this doesn't take away from a brother being a good brother and a good practice of this deen of Islam. But when it comes, Islam is quite detailed, as we can see in some of the issues. Maybe he can't get all of the details down and he confuses some of the things. And then this person will be called amongst the du'afa. Or a person that his memory is kind of okay, but he might be a little hasty and he makes mistakes. Instead of getting his revision down, he just... like they kind of say, shoot from the hip or something without preparing and making sure he got it down before his delivery, even though he's bright and he learned and so on, then he makes mistakes every now and then. But the every now and then is mostly now instead of then. And then he confuses the people, or the people begin to lose confidence in him because of the mistakes. As the mistakes come quite often. And everybody's going to make mistakes, and perfection is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But I think that, inshallah, that we get the difference between someone who's a little haphazard, that is always making the mistakes, as opposed to the people who do their best to present that which is correct, and then because of that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created humanity and weakness, that he falls into error here or there, and then he stands corrected whenever he stands corrected, as opposed to the person who has the people doing something, and then comes back, no, don't do that, do this. Then he has you do something else, oops, no, don't do that, do this. And then every now and then, and you find yourself after a while even doubting, should you even take something from the person or not? And I wanted to ask a question pertaining to that, inshallah ta'ala, remind me, inshallah. Imam Muslim rahimahullah, he says, chapter, the explanation or the clarification that the chain of narrators is from this deen, and that the narration is only going to be acceptable when it's the narration of the reliable memorizers, and that speaking against some of the narrators, meaning saying that he's weak or his character is not together or so on, discrediting him or criticizing him, that this is permissible. Rather, it is compulsory, and it's not considered to be the ghiba that is haram. Rather, it is the defense of this noble sharia. And here Imam Muslim rahimahullah, and he explained with all of his narrations, and now's not the time to mention all of them, and maybe in the future inshallah. But here Imam Muslim rahimahullah, what he's showing is that when you say so-and-so, you want to learn your deen from him, and he does this, and he does that, and he does this, and he does that. You're going to listen to so-and-so when he talks about Islam, and we know about him this, and we know about him that, and so on and so on. People are saying, how can you talk about the people like that? He's still Muslim, and Muslims shouldn't be talked about like that. Here Imam Muslim, rahimahullah, he shows that in this case, this isn't considered talking about him. This isn't ghiba, backbiting, and slandering a person. This is defense of this deen of al-Islam, as the people have a right to know who they take this deen from. And the people who know what is correct, and they know the people who are cheating the people and who are wrong because of their character and their knowledge of this deen, then it's compulsory on the people who know to make it known to the masses of the innocent Muslims, so that they can be warned against those Muslims who are not the reliable memorizers and the carriers of this deen of al-Islam. So I hope that we get this point down, as some of the Muslims, and I hear quite often, in defense of the criminal Muslims. There's no defense for them. Yeah, we all Muslim, and we're going to say assalamu alaikum to each other. We're going to visit him if he's sick, inshallah. If some people need some money or some help or whatever we can do to be brotherly like this, is going to be like that. But when it comes to talking about this deen and the affairs of the Muslims, then this is only going to come from certain people. The people who are the reliable memorizers of this deen, the people with mind and character. And for the other people, then the Muslims have to be warned against them, and the Muslims should be happy if they're warned against a deviant. Don't listen to Imam so-and-so, he'll lead you astray. You should say, Alhamdulillah. Don't listen to brother so-and-so, he's out of his mind. Alhamdulillah. The Muslims should be happy, and not to say, why are you talking bad about that Muslim? No, this isn't talking bad about that Muslim. This is defense for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's deen. Because if the people are quiet, then he'll lead the people astray. And how often have we seen some ignorant imams lead the people astray? How often have we seen the ignorant leaders lead the Muslims astray? And even until now, people are speaking about this deen without any knowledge and leading the Muslims astray. And are we to say that the people who know better are supposed to sit around and listen to anybody and everybody speak about Allah's deen without any knowledge, and not to say anything, as to say that may be a ghiba, and that's haram, or that's backbiting, or so on? This isn't criticizing, this is the defense for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's deen, to keep out of it that which is not in it. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had pointed out this in many of the hadith, as we're quoting from the introduction of the introduction of Ibn Majah, and this version is the Sahih Ibn Majah from Muhammad Nasruddin al-Albani, and he has in his introduction a chapter being hard on the intentional lies against the Prophet since the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they bring the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, من كذب علي متعمدا فليتبوأ مقعده من النار. So whoever lies on me intentionally, then let him have his seat prepared for him in the hellfire. And this intentionally and unintentionally is the same. As many of the ulama explain, as in some of the narrations, it comes without the word intentionally. Because if you don't know that it's authentically reported on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then you're intentionally lying on the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Either you know it to be authentic or you're lying on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam intentionally. As some of the people say, I don't know if it's authentic, but the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever says like that, then he's intentionally lying on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because if he doesn't know, then he shouldn't speak. And we'll see some of the narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi as he says, من حدث عني حديثا وهو يرى أنه كذب فهو أحد الكاذبين, as recorded also from the hadith of Imam Muslim in his introduction, where the Prophet ﷺ says, whoever narrates a hadith on me and he thinks that it's a lie, meaning, as Ibn Hibban had explained, meaning he's doubting, he's not certain to its authenticity, that he thinks that it's a lie on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then he's one of the two liars, the one who invented the first time and then him passing it on be without any certainty that has been authentically recorded on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. In the other narration, من حدث عني حديثا وهو يرى أنه كذب فهو أحد الكاذبين, that whoever narrates the hadith on me and he knows that it's not authentic, or that, excuse me, that he knows that it's a lie, then he is one of the two liars. And the Messenger of Allah said, لا تكذبوا علي فإن الكذب علي يولج النار. Don't lie on me, the Prophet said, because indeed lying on me will enter you into the fire. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, من تقول علي ما لم أقول فليتبوأ مقعده من النار. That whoever fabricates on me that which I haven't said, then he has a place prepared for him in the fire, a seat prepared for him in the fire. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when he was on the minbar, إِيَّاكُمْ وَكَسْرَةَ الْحَدِيثِ عَنِّي فَمَنْ قَالَ عَلَيَّ فَلْيَقُلْ حَقًّا أَوْ صِدْقًا وَمَنْ تَقَوَّلَ عَلَيَّ مَا لَمْ أَقُلْ فَلْيَتَبَوَّأْ مَقْعَدَهُ مِنَ النَّارِ. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in this hadith, he says, when he was on the minbar, be aware of narrating too many hadith on me. Because whoever fabricates on me that which I haven't said, and whoever has to say or to narrate a hadith on me, then let it be the truth, and let him be sincere or truthful. And whoever fabricates on me that which I haven't said, has a seat prepared for him in the fire. So here the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and these hadiths, warn us from lying on him, and these hadith are all just showing us that which we take from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is that which has been authentically reported on the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that we're not going to take anything and everything like the Muslims say when they say, I go to any masjid and I listen to any imam and I listen to any sheikh and I read any book. That he should listen to the statement of Imam Malik ibn Anas radiyallahu rahimahullah, as he says to one of his companions, Ibn Wahbin, know that no one is safe if he narrates everything that he hears. And no one will ever become an imam if he narrates everything he hears. So here Imam Malik rahimahullah, he's showing that don't feel safe if you just go listen to anything and everything. A man is not safe if he listens to anything and everything, and that he definitely won't be an imam. And by this word imam, not necessarily is he referring to the imam of the masjid, but imam in the sense of a leader. As many of the imams of this deen, they weren't the imam of the masjid. And even today you have many of the imams of this deen that aren't imams of the masjid. Like Imam Abu Bakr al-Jazairi, who's in Medina, he's an imam, scholar, knowledgeable of this deen. Imam means a leader. He can lead you down the Sirat al-Mustaqim by Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's permission, from his knowledge of the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of his Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's saying nobody is going to be in that place if he just narrates everything he hears. Oh, I heard this from him, that from her, so on and so forth, and just narrate anything, that he won't be safe, because some of it's going to be lies and some of it's going to be the truth. And there's no difference from narrating on the jinn, as they're going to give you, as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, some truth and some lies. But the jinn is going to give you more lies than truth. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ الْعَلِيُّ الْعَظِيمُ. Yes.
Yes. Can you use that in terms of how we name ourselves? What's your thought, how we name ourselves? A lot of us, you know, we say our names is Abdullah Ibn such and such, and our father wasn't that name. And we're taught that we should use our father's name as a second name, and we still use, like, say, I use Abdul Ali Ibn Abdul Rahim, and I know that my father is not Abdul Rahim.
Yes.
And I've been told that
This issue of the name and someone attributing his lineage, and not the name, but the lineage to other than his father and his forefathers, then this is kufrun, as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. And Allah tabarak wa ta'ala prohibited this. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to do this before Allah tabarak wa ta'ala prohibited him this by calling Ibn Haritha, by calling him Zayd ibn Muhammad, and he was Zayd ibn Haritha. This isn't lying on the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or lying on Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, but this is committing one of the major sins that Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have prohibited, and Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala knows best. And we had explained in detail that there's a difference between a person saying his name is Ahmed Salim as opposed to someone who's saying Ahmed Ibn Salim, and he knows that his father's name is George, for example. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows first. Imam An-Nawi rahimahullah, he explains the statement of Imam Malik, as he says that what he means is that whoever narrates everything that he hears, he's going to make a lot of mistakes. So much so that the people are going to leave him alone, and they're not going to rely on his narration anymore, because of his mistakes, because he narrates on so many people. And we saw this, unfortunately, here in America, where some of the people, they learn, but they just narrate on everybody, and this is why you see every couple of months they have to change up. And then every couple of months change up again, and then again, and then again, and then again, and then again, because they just keep narrating on everybody. And it's forced to only narrate on the reliable memorizers of this deen, as Imam Abu al-Hasan al-Ashari rahimahullah is teaching us in this point, and we believe in all of the narrations that which have been proven authentic from the reliable memorizers of this deen pertaining the descension to the lowest heaven. And this is from the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where he says that our Lord tabarak wa ta'ala comes down to the lowest heaven every third of the night asking. To that hadith that is known, that we believe in this hadith and other hadith that have been authentically reported to us by the reliable memorizers of this deen, in opposition to the people of deviance and going astray, as they disbelieve in it. If the narration agrees with their intellect, they accept it. If it disagrees with their intellect, then they reject it. And this is how they accept and reject hadith, not according to the reliable memorizers of this deen, but according to their own intellect. If that sounds like it's possible, they accept it, and if they don't, they reject it. And this is different than the people of the Sunnah, who accept all of the narrations that have been authentically reported to them by the reliable memorizers of this deen, without any question. And the best way to put it is the way that some of the ulama put it. Why do you have a problem accepting this hadith that Allah descends to the lowest heaven on the last third of every night? Why do you have a problem accepting that when the same people who brought you Zuhr four raka'at on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you accept that? Why do you accept that and you reject that? And what yardstick are you using for what you accept and what you reject, other than your own ignorance and your own desires, instead of the reliable memorizers in the chain of narrators, which is this deen? And if it wasn't for this chain of narrators, then everybody or anybody could say whatever he likes. And this is what Imam Abu al-Hasan al-Ashari rahimahullah is trying to show us. And this is a very important part of our belief, that we believe in that which has been authentically reported to us, and that we don't let our own intellect or our own desires interfere with that which has been authentically reported to us from the reliable memorizers of this deen, that we're going to pick and choose on what we like. As the people say, often, if someone else quotes that hadith from Al-Bukhari, I might take it. And this is that the people, if they like somebody, they take the hadith from him. And if they don't like somebody, they don't take the hadith from him. Not looking at who the person is, meaning his deen or his character, to make that the judgment on if you're going to take from him or not. But just if you get along with him, you take it from him. Even if his deen is criminal. Even if his memory is shot, you take from him anyway because he's your boy. And then if somebody, you don't get along with him or you don't like him, even if his memory is strong, even if his deen is intact, then you're not going to take from him because I don't get along with the brother. Meaning the brother didn't hit it off or what have you. This has no place in this deen, and that's the only thing that's going to determine for us if we accept something or if we reject something is that it comes by means of the reliable memorizers of this deen and we're going to accept it, or it comes from the way of the liars and the people who are weak. And we explained that earlier, and then we're going to reject their narrations. I wanted to make this point, and this is in accordance with that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Do we feel in America, do we feel more comfortable if somebody reads straight from the book or if somebody quotes from his memory? Which one do we feel is a little stronger to us, or we feel a little more safer with, or do we think that both of them are equally the same? And this is just a question for me that I had some time ago, and I think that now is the time to ask it, as it seems to be in accordance with this. Nobody? From the book? Yeah, I'm asking the question. Do the people feel safer if it's from the book, or if somebody's quoting it from his memory?
Us being programmed in America, if we need to be deprogrammed, I think we used to set them from the person member. We need to set it coming from the first from the book. Being programmed in America, we're a little more confident first this coming shooting from the member. But at me, I don't think it's after we need to learn from the book.
Yes, sir.
You said many of the people are used to relying on just listening to what a person says and taking that and not going to the book. They'd rather hear from, the imam, their sheikh, or whatever. And they'll quote the imam. The imam said, this and that, not referring to the book at all.
I think the two brothers kind of summarized maybe, and this is the way I have felt, and I just wanted to get some feedback every now and then. And some of the brothers, I asked them in private in order to help myself present the case a little better. And it seems that the people are saying, whether it's from the book or from the memory, meaning whether if you're reading it from the book or if you're quoting from your memory from the book, just make sure it's from the book of Allah and the Sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that which the ulama have understood from this deen, as opposed to if it's going to be from your memory, meaning from your own desires or from your own opinion, then to leave that off. So it's okay whether a person, I think everybody's saying, the main thing is that he's quoting from something, if he's speaking or he's reading directly from it. And the reason I just asked this, because it's kind of important, if you're giving a lesson, to try to present it in a way that makes the people feel confident in it or more comfortable with it. And I thought that this time was appropriate, inshallah, to ask the people, as I try to make a combination between the two, of sometimes from the book and sometimes from my memory, and depending on what is easiest for me at the time or whatever. And hopefully trying to build the confidence in the people, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that gives the success. Abu al-Hassan al-Ashari rahimahullah, he continues with his statement, and we rely or we fall back on, if there's any difference that we have amongst ourselves, on the book of Allah, on the book of our Lord Azza wa Jal, and the Sunnah of our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, and from the ijma' of the Muslims, and that which is in its meaning, and we don't invent any bid'ah in the deen of Allah, that which Allah has been given permission for, and we don't say about Allah that which we have no knowledge of. At this point, it looks like maybe we're going to leave it for next week and to continue, and we'll try to begin inshallah ta'ala with it. And that here Abu al-Hassan al-Ashari rahimullah, he's referring to something that we have made a lecture before called al-ikhtilaf, or a difference of an opinion, and the tafsir of this ayah in Surah Nisa, verse number 59, where Allah tabarak wa ta'ala tells us, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُوا الرَّسُولَ وَأُولُو الْأَمْرِ مِنْكُمْ فَإِنْ تَنَعَزَعْتُمْ فِي شَيْءٍ فَرُدُّوهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَالرَّسُولِ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ ذَلِكَ خَيْرٌ وَأَحْسَنُ تَأْوِيلًا. O you who believe, I command you to obey Allah, and I command you to obey the Messenger and those in authority from amongst yourselves. And if you differ in anything, then take it back to Allah and the Messenger, if you believe in Allah and the last day, and that is best as a final decision. Here Abu al-Hassan al-Ashari rahimahullah, he's referring to this ayah in the Quran with his understanding. As Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is telling us to obey Allah and then to obey the Messenger. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is making the obedience to Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam unconditional. As Allah tabarak wa ta'ala tells us, like in Surah Al-Hujurat, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تُقَدِّمُوا بَيْنِ يَدَيِ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. O you who believe, don't decide an affair in your lives before you know the decision of Allah and His Messenger. And that affair, or like the statement of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, Surah Al-Ahzab, وَمَا كَانِ لِمُؤْمِنٍ وَلَا مُؤْمِنًا إِذَا قَضَى اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَمْرًا أَنْ يَقُولُ لَهُمَ الْخِيرَةُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِمْ وَمَنْ يَعْصِ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولَهُ فَقَدْ ضَلَّ ضَلَالًا مُبِينًا. That Allah says is not proper or right for a believing man or a believing lady when Allah and His Messenger has decided an affair that they have any choice in that affair. And that whoever disobeys Allah and His Messenger has gone clearly astray. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in these ayat show that the obedience to Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is unconditional. And whether you obey Allah or you obey His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it's all the same, as Allah tabarak wa ta'ala tells us in Surah An-Nisa, وَمَنْ يُطِعَ الرَّسُولَ فَقَدْ أَطَاعَ اللَّهِ. And that whoever obeys the Messenger has indeed obeyed Allah. And Allah tabarak wa ta'ala shows us that this is the way that we show our love of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, by obeying and following His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As Allah tabarak wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Ali Imran, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْلِبُكُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ. Where Allah tabarak wa ta'ala says to His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, say to humanity, if you love Allah, then follow me, meaning the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah will love you and forgive you of your sins, and Allah is Ghafoor Rahim. So here we see that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala And this ayah is showing that obedience to him and his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is unconditional, and that whoever hears of the statements of his Lord tabarak wa ta'ala or the statements of his Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then he has to obey them as much as he could, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us in the hadith of al-Bukhari al-Muslim, إِذَا أَمَرْتُكُمْ بِأَمْرٍ فَأْتُوا مِنْهُ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ وَإِذَا نَهَيْتُكُمْ عَنْ شَيْءٍ فَاجْتَنِبُوهُ. That if I command you to do something, do it as much as you're able to, and if I prohibit you from something, then stay away from it. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he goes on to say, and those in authority from amongst you, meaning, and obey those in authority from amongst you. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't repeat the word obey for the third time. He said, obey Allah, obey the messenger, and those in authority from amongst you. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't repeat the word obey again, because it's not absolute obedience to those in authority from amongst you. But there's absolute obedience to Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَلَا طَاعَةَ فِي مَخْلُوقٍ فِي مَعْصِيَةِ اللَّهِ. And there's no obedience to the creation and disobedience to Allah. So this obedience to the creation, here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us that it is conditional, meaning so long as those in authority are commanding you to obedience to Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then obedience is for them. And if they command you to do other than that, then there's no obedience to them and disobedience to Allah or His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Those in authority from amongst yourselves, firstly, as the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained, they are the leaders and the people of knowledge. Meaning the people of knowledge of the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Not the people of knowledge of these worldly sciences or the people of knowledge of these trades, auto mechanics and carpentry and welding and what have you, but the people of knowledge of the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Those people of knowledge are the people of leadership, whether it's the Imam, or like you say, at times the President of the Islamic Society, or whatever, Amir or Wazir or whatever the title that the people have of the different levels of leadership that the people have amongst the Muslims, that all of these people have to be obeyed with the conditional obedience that they are commanding you to be obedient to Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam. And this is the meaning of those in authority from amongst you, from amongst yourselves. Yourselves means the Muslims. And then nobody should misunderstand this ayah meaning amongst yourselves, amongst those Muslims from North, or from those Muslims from New Jersey, or from us Muslims from New York, or from us Muslims from America, or from those Muslims from amongst yourselves, meaning in Arabia, or as some of the brothers and the institutions, they say from amongst us. You from the outside, we incarcerated. So from Allah says, those in authority from amongst yourselves, you're not from amongst us. This is a misunderstanding of the ayah of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala when He said from amongst yourselves, meaning from amongst the Muslims. And who can debate with the statement of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, وَأَنَّ هَذِهِ أُمَّتَكُمْ أُمَّةً وَاحِدَةً وَأَنَا رَبُّكُمْ فَاعْبُدُونَ. And this is your ummah, one ummah, and I'm your Lord, so worship me. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is the one who made us one ummah. And when Allah refers to you, He's referring to you Muslims. From amongst yourselves, meaning from amongst the Muslims. And how can we understand it with any understanding than that, taking into consideration the statement of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala in Surah Ar-Rum, وَلَا تَكُونُوا مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ مِنَ الَّذِينَ فَرَّقُوا دِينَهُمْ وَكَانُوا شِيَعًا كُلُّ حِزْبٍ بِمَا لَدَيْهِمْ فَرِحُونَ. And don't be like the disbelievers, those who have divided their religion up into groups and sects, each of them happily rejoicing in their own program. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He prohibited us from dividing our religion up into groups and into sects, and that everybody happily rejoicing in his own program. And these ayah and the other ayah and hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to show that the Muslims are one group of Muslims, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in the hadith of Imam al-Nasa'i, al-Muslimuna tatakafa'u dima'uhum, that the Muslims, all of their blood is equal. وَهُمْ يَدٌ عَلَى مَنْ سِوَاهُمْ. And they are united together like one hand against everyone other than themselves. And there are many texts from the Quran and the Sunnah to show that we are one ummah, and that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying from amongst yourselves, that He means from amongst the Muslims, and not that Clinton is a leader and he's amongst us, meaning he's in the same country that us, that he has to be obeyed in light of this ayat. But what is meant from amongst the Muslims and leadership position and the people of knowledge, that they have to be obeyed. And if you differ in anything, and if you differ, meaning you amongst yourselves as the regular Muslims, or the Muslims against their leaders, or the Muslims differ with the people of knowledge, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether this difference goes amongst the people of knowledge themselves, or amongst the leaders themselves, or amongst the people of knowledge and the normal people, or the normal people and the leaders, or whatever way the difference might be, that if you differ in anything, then take it back to Allah and the Messenger. And this is the point that from this ayat that the Shaykh Abu al-Hassan al-Ash'ari is referring to when he says that we rely on our differences to go back to the book of our Lord Azza wa Jal and the Sunnah of our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the Ijma'ul of the Muslims, and we'll explain that inshaAllah ta'ala. But here, this is the statement where Allah tabaraka ta'ala says, if you differ in anything, then take it back to Allah. Back to Allah means back to the book of Allah, the Qur'an. This is how you take it back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by taking it back to His book. And Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, He tells us in His book, as He says in Surah Ash-Shura, وَمَا اخْتَلَفْتُمْ فِيهِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ فَحُكْمُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ, and that whatever you differ in, then the verdict is with Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had revealed His verdict to us by means of His angel Jibreel, down to the tongue of His prophet and messenger, to all of humanity sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to all of us in this book that has been preserved, the book of Allah, the speech of Allah, the Quran. And back to the messenger. Back to the messenger meant to him directly. As when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this Quran, that the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was living, and the Muslims were still differing amongst themselves, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded them to take it back to the messenger directly to him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam while he's living. And after his death alayhi salatu wa sallam, of course, this means back to that which has been authentically reported on him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Meaning by means of the reliable memorizers that we were referring to in the chapter or the sentence just before this. So here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is commanding us to take our differences back to Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that this is the way that we're going to decide in the affairs that we differ in. That when a difference comes, then it's going to be taken back to the book of Allah and to the sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, so that we can get to the bottom of it. And that no one else is going to be a judge in the affairs that we differ, other than the one that's judging by the book of Allah and the sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, as Allah commands us to do in this ayah. And Allah didn't tell us, if you differ, take it back to the most knowledgeable people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, take it back to Allah and the Messenger. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Ask أهل الذكر, or the people of knowledge, when you don't know. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He commands us to go to the people of knowledge when we don't know, for them to teach us this deen. But when the issue of differencing of an opinion comes, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is commanding us to take it back to the book of Allah and that which has been authentically reported on His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, so that we can judge in our affairs. And if we don't do this, then we're going to be losers and to be failures, as this is the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded us to handle the affairs that we differ in. And then there's more around this issue of differing, and we can refer to our talk that we had, al-ikhtilaf, or the differencing of an opinion. And maybe there was another point that we wanted to mention. And this is the dua of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from Sahih Muslim. And that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to make this dua, the dua al-istiftah. And this is when you say Allahu Akbar and you begin your salah, and you say Subhanaka Allahumma. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to say other than that dua. And amongst those dua that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to say at this time is this hadith from Sahih Muslim, where the Prophet ﷺ used to say, Allahumma Rabbi Jibra'il wa Mika'il wa Israfil, Fatir al-Samawati wal-Ardi, Alim al-Ghaybi wa Shahada, Anta tahkumu bayna ibadika fima kanu fihi yakhtalifun, Ihdina lima akhtulika fihi min al-Haqq bi-Iznik, Innaka tahdi man tasha'u ila siratul mustaqim. The Prophet ﷺ used to say this, and it's very important that we hold fast to this dua. Not just at that time, but in the times of differencing of an opinion, as we can see the benefit from the translation, O Allah, the Lord of Jibreel and Mikael and Israfil, and these are the angels of Allah Ta'ala, the creator of the heavens and the earth, the knower of the unseen and the seen, you are the one who will judge in the affairs that your servants differ in. So guide me to the truth in the affairs that they differ in. Indeed you guide whoever you please to the Sirat al-Mustaqim. And we see here that it's important for the people, all of us, if we differ in anything, to take it back to Allah, meaning to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us to the truth. And this is also a part of taking it back to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, by asking Allah tabarak wa ta'ala directly to guide us to the truth and these issues that the people differ in. Oh Allah, the people have differed in this issue, guide me to the truth. I want to be on the truth. I don't want to be on the people who are wrong in this affair that the people differ in. And to use this hadith of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Also another important point to keep in mind is the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from the hadith of al-Bukhari and Muslim, اقرأوا القرآن ما اتلفت عليه قلوبكم وإذا اختلفتم فقوموا. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, read the Quran so long as you agree. And if you differ, then disperse. And here the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, read the Quran so long as you agree that each ayah means this, and it's supposed to be practiced that way. But if you differ, disperse. And this is after you take it back to the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sometimes there still might be some differences, and these might be minor and few in number and rare, that when you go back to the Quran, you say, wait a minute, it's Allah not saying that. It seems like He's saying this. He said, no, Allah is saying that. If the people differ to the meaning of the ayat of the Quran, then the people should disperse and let it go. Oh Allah, you know best what you meant. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us to the truth. But not to continue the debate anymore, or to go deeper into finding the truth and the affairs that you differ, when you go back to the Quran, to just let it go. And this is also, of course, for the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, also. And the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, gives us this last piece of advice that we'll mention, pertaining to the issue of difference of an opinion. And we have mentioned this before in some of the authentic hadith, when we're covering the 60-some ways to get to Jannah. And this is the statement of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that hadith, أَنَا زَعِيمٌ فِي وَسَطِ الْجَنَّةِ لِمَنْ تَرَكَ الْمِرَىٰ وَلَوْ كَانَ مُحِقًا. Where the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, I am the one to guarantee a place in the finest place in Jannah, a house in the finest place in Jannah, for the one who leaves off arguing even when he has the truth with him. And this is advice to us, that some people, they just don't want the truth. And you just beat yourself up, beat your head against the wall, trying to bring the truth to certain people. You quote to him, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says in the Quran, where? I never saw that ayah. Yeah, okay, subhanAllah, it's ayah number 59 of Surah An-Nisa. Show me. Alright, if somebody just wants to keep going, then it's going to be hard to debate a person like that. And I remember coming across some of the discussions with some of the Muslims. You quote a hadith to him, and he says, I never heard of that hadith. I studied in so-and-so of a university or whatever, and I never heard of that hadith. He said, the hadith is in Sunan al-Qubra lil-Imam al-Bayhaqi. He said, I don't have that book. Okay, somebody has the book. And it quotes the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You want to accept? No, well what about? It's better to just leave off the arguing, even if you have the haqq in these cases, seeking the reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not that you're running from the defense of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's deen, because you already bought the truth. And this is important, that when you're going to leave off arguing, desiring the reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even when you have the truth, you're going to state the truth, then let it go. Not that the people of falsehood are going to bring it. And this is why sometimes with some of the talks, and the people of falsehood, they don't like it. So they say, no, we're going to get the last word. Because the people have to hear the truth as being the last word, then there's no more arguing. As the people of deviance do, they want to come, get their foolishness off, and then say, don't argue, brother, after he led you astray. In this case, the truth is going to be stated, and then you're going to leave, but we're not going to argue with you. But the truth is going to be stated, and the brothers, they always bring the case as the is in court, where they show something,
then the judge say, no, that's inadmissible as evidence. You can't use that as jest or whatever they say. Then they say, oh, I'm sorry, Your Honor. We won't show this. All right, the jury done saw it. Oh. Then they tell the jury, no, erase what you saw from your mind. I would have you. And this is the way of the deviant. They throw their foolishness out there, and then they want to say, all right, let's not argue, listen. All I'm saying is he's an honorable man, and he did his best for his people, and he loved them, and he died striving for their cause. Yeah, he was a liar, a lying prophet, and he died in disbelief. And a lying messenger, and he died in disbelief. And there's no prophet and messengers after the last prophet and messenger of Allah, Muhammad ibn Abdullah, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Now we're not going to argue anymore. And this is important that we understand this point, that the truth is going to be stated when we leave off the argument, but we should leave off arguing with the people who don't want to accept the truth. And it's clear from the people, as they want to argue, you quote the hadith, akhir, it's better that you do such and such, as Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran this, or the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, and the Sunnah this. He says, bring the proof. As one of, I hear one of the Imams, he told him, one of the brothers told him, brother Imam, don't let the people line up equal to the pole, as the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam prohibited that. He said, bring me the hadith. What do you mean, bring you the hadith? You're the Imam, you're supposed to know the hadith. Otherwise, you're the Imam leading the Salah, you don't even know how to speak in the rose properly. SubhanAllah al-Azim, bring me the hadith. What do you mean, bring you the hadith? You just sitting here, me quote it to you? And this is, you know how the people act when they want to reject something, as he's telling you, bring it. Bring what? I just told you the Prophet ﷺ prohibited us from lining up straight with the rose. You're talking about bring me something. Bring you other than what I just watched. And you know how the people, when they want to argue, the way that they go about arguing, we need to leave off that, and I hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saves my tongue and keeps me and prevents me from arguing with the people of deviance, because there's so many Muslims who want the truth. Why waste our time arguing with people who don't want it? And this is the same thing with the Christians and the Jews and the disbelievers in general. When you call somebody to Islam, if he's acceptable, continue working on him. If he wants to argue with him, leave him alone. You can be making dhikr, reading Quran, memorizing Quran, reading hadith of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, calling somebody else to Islam. Don't sit and just argue with somebody who doesn't want to accept it. If he doesn't want to accept and he wants to give you a whole bunch of arguing, debating, okay, maybe we can talk tomorrow or something at lunchtime. I just forgot that it was something I had to do. And just to cut it short, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, and hopefully next week we can continue with the explanation of this statement of Abu al-Hassan al-Ashari, rahimahullah. And Allah tabarak wa ta'ala knows best. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barak ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. وسبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك الله اكبر الله الله اكبر comments we pertaining to today's topic of accepting all of the authentic narrations and taking our different things back to the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of His Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yes, sir.
They along with the Prophet,
sallallahu alaihi wasallam,
and those in authority.
Yes.
Can you give me the right?
Yeah, that's chapter number, Surah chapter number Nisa, verse number 59. That's chapter number 459. Yes, number 59. If the brothers and sisters from Atlantic City have any questions or comments.
As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi
wa barakatuh. Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Yes.
Of a letter.
Rashid, I didn't get that good.
I said on the questions, Allahu Alam, I said I'm just so patiently waiting for a letter that I need to send.
Ah, a letter. I just started today, so inshallah, we'll have it for you tomorrow. Inshallah. Allah ibarak fi. I don't know if the brothers and sisters from Plainfield have any comments or questions. Everything clear, inshallah.
الحمد لله صلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.